For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. Here we are, getting ready to smoke through the rest of the year. Man, that was fast, wasn't it? Headed for 2019. I know right now a lot of people out there planning, making things. The changes that are going to take place, the things you're finally going to settle down and do. Most of us do that as human beings. It's just like we're very calendar-y. You know, I mean, I always say, listen, if something's worth doing, do it now. You know, why wait? Why wait another day if it's something you really want to do? But if that's part of the planning process, it's better to start planning than not do anything at all. Well, my assignment this week is about not being afraid of the dark or being alone. Because I got to tell you, as a spiritual counselor, and for those who know or don't know, I am actually an ordained chaplain and seminary graduate, and I do a lot of counseling. This time of the year gets real tricky. Triggery, I guess, is a better word for a lot of people out there because they feel like they're alone and it's another year that they don't have anybody in their life. So I like to approach the subject of being alone, especially around the holiday season. Is that you? Well, I tell you what, it might be you because according to the latest stats, over 50% of Americans are single and or living alone. That is the latest stats. So there really is something to be said about people feeling like they're not going to find a significant other, or is there really such a thing as a significant other? You know, my grandmother, my mother's side, is actually, we call her a bachan. She's actually Japanese, and she was of the age at the time, the culture in Japan, where the marriages were selected. You know, you didn't have any choice in it. It was a prearranged marriage. So my grandmother actually came from a wealthy family, incredible history that goes back into the shogunate history. But anyway, this was pre-World War II, keep in mind, because once World War II took place, I mean, everything changed in Japan. Nobody had money after that. But anyway, when she was of age, you know, she was actually a woman with a college education in Japan, which is very rare for the 19-teens and the 1920s. But she majored in home economics, one of the few programs they actually offered women at universities in Japan at that time, and she loved it. So her idea was to be able to go to France and be a fashion designer. And, man, she bought a one-way ticket, and she was getting ready to get on that plane. And the story goes, she's deceased now, rest in peace, but the story goes that her parents literally had her dragged off of the plane to come and marry my grandfather in this prearranged marriage. And the last time I saw her, she was in her 80s. I actually went to Japan, and I spent a little time with her, though it was hard because she didn't speak very much English, and I speak almost no Japanese, except for some of the slang words. Which do me no good in life. But I said, you know, Grandma, I mean, you were married to Grandpa for over 60 years. How did you live with someone that I know you didn't love when you married? You weren't in love with them when you married him. How did you do that? She said, you know, people don't have a clue about love. See, it was love. Love is a commitment of time. And this is all through my cousin who was bilingual, keep in mind. She said, love is a commitment of time. If you give it time, you can learn to love anybody if you give it time. And I thought that was just a very interesting aspect, her terminology on what love is, because as a reporter, I've been searching the answer to that question for years. I've done a mini documentary on it, and it's on my timeline at the Eden Assignment if you ever want to see it. I usually run it every Valentine's Day. But I think I'm getting closer to that answer, but her answer, you know, was pretty incredible that you think you know what love is, but you don't. But I think what's happening in our country is a lot of people are getting really wise to the difference between love and passion. And passion is no reason to permanently hook up with somebody, especially in a holy ceremony, in a house of God or in front of the eyes of God. passion has very little to do with long-term love. Or maybe a lot of people made that mistake and now they are alone nonetheless. But anyway, with over 50% of the people just in our country now being single, at some point, as humanoids, you know, we don't set out to be alone, but now here we find ourselves alone. And it seems like at the holidays, most people focus on that, on how they are alone. And that's when a lot of them, I mean, it can really trigger people who, you know, especially did not set out to be alone in their life and now are. They go in for spiritual counseling, therapy, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I'm going to actually point out to you right now some of the positives of being alone, because I know nobody ever does that, because all we do is focus on the negative side of being alone. There's some good things that come with being alone, okay? If you're someone who's been married a couple of decades or more, like myself, sometimes you still like to be alone, and your partner can respect that. You know, I mean, some people are wired differently. Some people are very extroverted and they like all that noise around them. And some people are introverted and they really need their sense of peace to be able to focus. Neither one of those things are bad. It's just a wiring. But listen, when you don't have the noise around you, it is so much easier to stay focused and goal-oriented. You know, back in my TV career, when I was honing my career, I worked for a rather small market. It was Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and I was there for about 4 years. And if you know anything about the TV business, usually you start small and you work your way up into what they call a major market. That's the goal. I mean, if you make major market TV, that's when you do good. That's when the money's coming in. That's when you've got at least a million or more people looking at you, you know, typically more than 3 million, I guess I should say. But that's when things are really getting good. The perks are good. But they don't expect you to be bad at that level. I mean, you have to be able to perform in major market. They don't expect you to make the stupid mistakes that you make in small and medium markets. And I made my share, and I'm so glad I did it in a small market. But anyway, I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and I had quite a trip to make. It was about an hour and 15 minutes one way to go to Johnstown, which is more of central Pennsylvania. And I actually spent about 4 years there working for an NBC affiliate. But because I was on the road so much when I was doing that job, I really discovered something. It really forced me to be able to think and think very clearly without any interruptions. And I could break it down literally on my way back, you know, from work. I was looking forward to being able to have a good conversation with myself. you know, it's like, okay. So what's next? What are we planning here? Let's break this down. Well, at that time, my goal was to be able to break into karate magazines because I was a journalist. I was a legitimate black belt at that time, and I knew how to take pretty decent pictures of myself or anything else, and I knew that this is probably something I could conquer, and I wanted to be a writer, and I wanted to get the credentials of being in a karate magazine. So I staked my plan out. I said, you know what, I'm going to find out who the editor is, and I'm going to just start with sending a picture of myself and introducing myself. You know, I started just thinking of all these things that I can do. And always in the back of my mind is, okay, well, Karen, what if nothing happens? Because over 50% of the time when you send out queries or you send out packages or whatever, nothing happens. I mean, people don't even get back with you. I mean, at times they will if it's what we call a form letter, and I've gotten a million of those things. I'm sorry, you know, thank you for your inquiry. However, you're not what we're looking for at this time, blah, 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 blah. I've gotten stacks of those things. I've even gotten letters from stations that I end up working for within a few months later. Those form letters mean nothing to me. So if you're very career-oriented with something that has a lot of competition, don't be discouraged because someone sends you a letter or an email back and says you're not what we're looking for. Heck. They don't even know what they're looking at. They get, you know, hundreds and hundreds of tapes or vids or packages. Just, you know, you've got to realize who you are and what you were wired to do and be very focused on that. But my trips back and forth alone, an hour and 15 minutes one way, and it was late at night because it was after the 11 o'clock news. East Coast people do 11 o'clock news usually, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Nonetheless, it's late when you're driving home. So, I really got a lot of clarity at this time in my life to be able to sit down and think about how I was going to conquer my goal. And you know what? It worked. and it worked really well. I basically decided, you know what, I'm not afraid of the word no. I've heard it many times. So what? You have to go for it anyway. And if it's no, it's no. I'll come up with another angle. Are you willing to come up with angles? I mean, just sometimes to beat the competition out, you have to come up with angles. And you can ask some of the other news directors that hired me. Sometimes I got pretty darn creative with my angles. But it worked because it got their attention. And if you're anything in sports and entertainment, it's all about creating the angles to beat out the competition. So anyway, I couldn't have done that, is my point, if I didn't have this alone time. Because you get very busy in your life. You know, you get married, you get busier. You have another career, you get busier. You have kids, you get busier. It's always, you're always too busy to be able to take some alone time. So I just want to let you know that downtime, alone time, has positive attributes to it. It's not always about, well, I'm sitting by my Christmas tree alone, poor me, again. And I want to encourage you to focus on the positive things that come with this time in your life to being alone. Does it mean you'll always be alone? No, of course not. You know, just so, well, I'm over 40. I'm probably going to be alone. You don't know that. Are you God? You don't know anything. I don't know anything. But take the opportunity and use all the positive attributes that you can out of it to grow, to create, and become a better person. Take time to be a spiritual person. If you have time where you can pray and or meditate, you've got a really good thing going there. Because you get into family life, I mean, it's just, and if you're working on top of it, I mean, you know you don't even have time to work out. It's very, very busy. So when you're afforded moments to be alone, let's just think about all the good things that are coming with that. Most of the good things that come with being alone, I got to tell you, are more on the spiritual side of things. But if you're a spiritual person, you'll start to realize this, and your focus will change in, more onto spiritual things, and you'll start to see that the greatest teachers of all time had to spend time alone. I don't care who they were. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ. If you read the Gospels, you'll see many times where he was alone. Mount of Olives, alone, by himself, out in a boat in the middle of the lake after dealing with thousands of people, by himself. It's like, where'd he go? Oh, wow, he's all the way over there and he's alone. We'll never catch him now. You know, just leave him alone. Well, that was the point. You know, the third watch. Said he would get up at the third watch of the morning, which is super early in the morning. It's probably somewhere between the hours of 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning where he would retreat to the mountains just to spend his alone time, to pray and meditate. There's really nothing wrong with that. Interestingly enough, the third watch, the way the biblical timing puts it, is a very interesting time. It's a very spiritual time, 3 to 6 a.m. And you can ask people who don't believe in Christ but do paranormal science and study paranormal sciences, and they'll tell you that very crazy things can happen at 3 a.m. Sometimes very negative things happen at 3 a.m. All spiritual things are not fairies and good things, guys. I mean, I know that there are certain types of religions out there that try to post that spiritual things are all good things, and they're not. The spirit realm is very vast and is considered of a battle of good and evil. And once you realize this, you decide where you're going to take your place. If you don't decide whom you're going to serve, something will be decided for you. And it's usually not good. So I want to encourage you to really reach out into the spiritual realm and decide what your place is with that. Being able to combat evil, to me, is what it's all about when it comes to saying I'm a spiritual person. Now, a lot of people, when you say you hear they're a spiritual person, they just think of, oh, you know, I have the drumming bowl or whatever it's called, the little vibrating bowl, and I and burn incense and all this stuff. No, I don't. For me, there's just Christ. I say that all the time. And the principles I go to the best of my ability, are represented in that book. And the book is so vast. I mean, it covers, you know, thousands of years. So a lot of people, especially this day and age, like to take their battles when they don't believe in God or they don't believe in Christ, and they'll take something from the Old Testament out of the Mosaic Covenant and then compare it to something that is in the New Testament, a Pauline principle with the churches or whatever, and it just... Man, don't get me started, because that's not what this show is about, okay? But, you know, you can pretty much take anything and make it fit what you want it to fit, you know, without giving any thought to context, culture, history, you know, time. You can do anything and make it sound really, really bad. So I just want you to keep that in mind. There's a lot of people out there who are in the battle of good and evil, and they are really out on the other side of the camp, the enemy side, where they really want to take out people who believe in Christ. And I'm fully aware of that. And I want you to be fully aware of that, that spiritual things are not all good things. But, of course, there are a lot of good things. And one of the greatest things, one of the greatest privileges you can have in the spirit realm is being afforded time alone. It's very important because it's going to help you grow. It's going to help you hear the voice of God. It's going to help you to have the consciousness of the Holy Spirit to know, you know, what your power source is, what your ability is, and how you can make all these things work. There's so much more than just going to church. I mean, seriously, I want you to know that. Seek and you will find. If you seek out the spiritual things, you're definitely going to find them. Okay, so I started out on my assignment of not being afraid of the dark or darkness. That's what was in my title. I wanted to hit the alone thing because I just wanted to encourage you. If you find yourself alone for another holiday season, you know, look up to heaven and say, thank you, God, that I have the ability to grow and be a better person in this alone time. And trust him that he knows you need that alone time. And when you no longer need it, then people will be provided and put on your stage. And once that happens, you may go, man, I sure do miss my alone time. All right. I want to move on to not being afraid of the dark. When I say the dark, I mean darkness. Dark things, the dark negative things that are taking place around you right now in the world as we speak. See it all the time, right? Those of you who do social media, you know you see a lot of dark posts sometimes. Sometimes it's shocking because it's from people from your family and friends. You're like, whoa, whoa, what? I can't believe you feel that way. I mean, it's shocking. You want to start a good argument, man, your social media will do it. It turns brother against brother sometimes. And I try not to waste my time because, you know, there are better ways of battling evil. And I know that there are other people who I can name them, people who were devout believers, devout Christians, ministers who've turned away and have gone over to the other side of the line. And I still call them pastor. And they're like, why do you call me pastor? I call you pastor because you may not be pastor in a Christian church, but you're still a pastor. You're pastoring on the other side. And they do. And they'll do everything they can to speak out against Christianity and Christ. I don't know. They don't do too much with the other religions. I don't know why that is, but they certainly do try to step on Judeo-Christian people. So keep that in mind, too. And understand that the reason why they're doing that is because there are two sides in the spirit realm. There's good and evil. There are two spiritual sources, the source of good and the source of evil. I don't know why people don't like to talk about evil. I never hear it in churches. I never hear it on TV shows anymore. You know, it seems to be a conformality where we're just talking about how, you know, God's here to help you with your problems. And that is very, very true. But that's just one little tiny tip of one little iceberg on the spirit realm and how things work. People should be talking about evil because there is darkness in the world. It's very much a real thing. And if someone's not given the tools or the knowledge of how to combat evil things, they're going to be taken down. They're going to be taken out. They're going to be discouraged. They're going to fall into depression, which can lead to oppression. There's so many things because the knowledge is not being expended on the fact that in the spirit realm there are evil things. You know, and I know this may sound heavy, but you know what? This is nothing compared to the way I talk. This is me being lighthearted, guys. I'm trying to dumb this down. Okay, there's so much more going on than just the stuff that's being put out there. And if you're a minister, a pastor, whatever you want to call it, and you're not dealing with how to combat evil at your own site, your own pulpit, shame on you. Because you got to teach people the rules, the regulations, the isms from what we have in our book, the Bible. You've got to teach them how to combat evil or they're going to be taken out. That's all right if you think I'm weird. I don't need friends. Okay, where was I? All right. Darkness, being afraid of darkness is just pure fear, all right, because there's so many things you can be afraid of. You look at the political scene, well, I'm afraid of what my future holds because I got a kid too. You know, I'm afraid of being rejected or I'm afraid of being criticized because of my Christian values or beliefs. So much going on out there, which I consider just to be darkness. It seems to be very one-sided. But if you let that overtake you, and if you let that ping your emotions, you know what? You're living in fear. And now fear is a word that is in the Bible a lot. Fear not, do not fear, be not afraid. I can just go on and on and on. You can Google it sometimes. But that word is in there a lot. Because conquering fear is one of the greatest spiritual battles that a person will personally have to do to conquer your own fears? Are you afraid of being alone for the rest of your life? Are you afraid of the way the world's turning, how bad and ugly it's getting? Are you fearful of your children and what their future holds for them? Well, if you are, I'm here to tell you from a spiritual standpoint, you're being weak. You're being weak. Because we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind, clear thinking, able to make good judgment calls. These are the words that are in my book, your book, the Bible. I want you to read it. And I tell you this again, if you don't like the way your Bible reads, there's a lot of different versions out there. Get one. Read it. Some of them are like books. They read so easy. I mean, and understand and know and study what's going on here so that nobody will get you and make you think that your belief is wrong, that your system is old-fashioned, that it doesn't fit in, that it's contradictory. You can't take something from 6,000 years ago that was said by a prophet and then, you know, spin doctor it into something that was said 6,000 years later by an apostle. There's so much going on. Thousands of years have gone by. I mean, do you want someone to judge you right now by something, I don't know, thousands of years ago that somebody said? I mean, somebody in your family said something 1,000 years ago and or 6,000 years ago and all of a sudden people are making fun of you because you're not adhering to it? There's so much going on besides just what people will put out in front of you. So if you're challenged on something, then do your own research. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Do your own research. The appropriate time will line up for you to be able to be called into that battlefield. I call it a spiritual battlefield. That time will come for you to do that. But if you don't know your stuff and you don't have your weapons, you're not going to do very good. I mean, sometimes things can get handed to you in a very supernatural way. Other times you need to be prepared. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, the full armor of God. Tells you everything if you want to read it, Ephesians 6. Church in Ephesia. One of the churches that were set up. One of the teachings. The Pauline teachings are simply the teachings of Paul, considered the first missionary. Good story on his own, Paul. But I don't really have time to get into that today. But there's so much out there, and I want to encourage you not to be afraid of darkness. Don't be afraid of the things you hear, because God's still on the throne. And for you to be in fear means that you're trying to be on the throne yourself and take over. You know, as strong people, sometimes we feel like it's our duty, but sometimes you need to just step back and observe and listen for the Holy Spirit to lead you on how to do things. So, you know, I know this is a very religious-sounding show right now. I get that, and I understand that, but I do think that these things need to be said, and I do think that people need to understand that there is real evil in this world, and that if you have a spiritual stance for goodness, you will be attacked easily. Can be attacked, sometimes in the ways that you would never imagine. You know, if somebody out there wants to offend me, probably wouldn't hurt me a whole lot, but somebody close in my camp, when they do something, man, that's painful. That could definitely wound me. That could definitely wound me, so I've got to be careful. I got to know how to handle people even in my own camp, quote unquote. I got to know how to be prepared to listen to the Holy Spirit-inspired things out there that are coming through the spiritual realm. The voice of God coming through the pipelines. People say, you hear a voice. No, I was just asked that. It's really hard to explain, but in the spirit realm, they don't operate in the physical ways the physical realm operates. You know, you have the five senses right in the physical realm. The spiritual realm has its own senses. They don't necessarily operate through the physical realm, though they can. But there is a knowing, Holy Spirit-inspired knowing about things. And you've got to work at that. You've got to pray. You've got to meditate to be able to understand spiritual things. If you don't understand spiritual things, you need to take time, like you take time to go to the gym, or you take time to get your college degree, or you take time to do better on your job. You need to take time to be good at understanding spiritual things as well. Well, guys, that's pretty much my assignment this week, and I do want to encourage you and not discourage you, because in this world you will have trouble, but don't get depressed because Christ has overcome the world. That's what he said. He said it very, very much like that without the old English sound. He said, I've overcome the world. I already paid the price for you. You don't need to live in fear. I want you to think of good things, lovely thoughts, pure thoughts, I want you to think of things that are going to make your mind have a chemical release of goodness and love. It wasn't put like that in the Bible, but basically it correlates. You have to think on these good things and don't get down by the bad things. You can take anything and make it a bad thing, and you can take anything and make it a good thing. Can you choose to listen to the voice that's going to be about good things and not the voice that's going to be about bad things? Can you make a concerted effort to do that? As spiritual beings, it's important that we learn to be uplifting, lift ourselves up, and lift up other people. That is in the Bible. All right, listen, I got two books out. You can Google them. I have four books out. Two of them are martial arts related. Google them. You buy them, please, because when you do, I get money for that. Right, for two magazines, half for over 20 years, and I want to thank you so much. So those trips to Johnstown, going back and forth in the middle of the night, they really did pay off for me, because here I am 20 years later, over 20 years, and I'm still writing for karate magazines. I've probably written for every major martial arts magazine in the world, and I've been on six covers myself. And I don't mean to brag, but yeah, I kind of do. I kind of do mean to brag. Because that's a big deal. All right, listen, God bless you. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for this country. I don't care if you're Democratic or Republican. Pray for the leaders. You know, they're only in office for a few years at most. Pray for the next one. I'm already praying for the next one. Stop fighting about it and pray about it. Pray for them. Go to the spirit realm for your answers. Pray for the politicians who are trying to make good, godly decisions for people in this world. Pray, and pray some more, and then pray again. All right? I'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Have a good week. Bye-bye.